series called, The Lifestyle of Prayer. So because it's a lifestyle, we just don't want to be theoretical people. We want to be practical. So part of what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be putting it into practice. Because, you know, it's not, the prayer is something that we do, not just talk about. We actually do prayer. But I want to say this. Please, all of us need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in our lives. That the Holy Spirit knocks. You know, in Revelation, when they gave the message to the five churches, there's a church that he says, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I what? I knock." And this knock of the Lord is not the knock of the detectives from the Western Australian Police or the Australian Federal Police. This is a gentle knock, because we know when the detectives come, they're bashing the door down. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not bash the door down. He knocks gently. And he's knocking gently on your heart. And you have to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. That there are certain things when he comes, you need to be dialed into the frequency of the Holy Spirit, so that when he whispers to you, you will listen and you will take action. Because if you ignore and you are not aware of the whisperings and the knocking of the door of God, of the Holy Spirit in your lives, it might be not good for you. And I just want to bring that very strong encouragement that let us be dialed in to the Holy Spirit, because we need him just to live our lives. Worse off when we've got troubles all around us. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we cannot forget that, because he will whisper. He will whisper something. And we have to be obedient to what he wants to do in your life, in you, and through you as you minister to other people, so that you're not depending on your own strength. So we're doing this new series, which is a continuation of our review of Matthew chapter 6, and some of the things that Jesus spoke about. Now, these were the issues of fasting, which we spoke about in January, when we obviously came to a corporate fast. We fasted for 7 days, and we said that it should not be an event in our lives. It should be our lifestyle. And so he spoke in Matthew 6 about fasting, about prayer, and about giving. And Jesus said that when you fast, when you pray, and when you give. Not if you fast, if you pray, and if you give. So in other words, what Jesus was saying is that we need to make those three things a part of our lifestyle. This is who we are. We fast because it's important. Part of our Christian discipline is we are fasting and we are praying. And of course, we have a heart of generosity. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, of course, there's financial resources, but your posture always bends towards generosity, always bends towards helping people, making yourself what? Available for other people. That is our posture that we need to maintain. So in Matthew chapter 6, it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. He goes on to say, when you pray, don't babble. Don't go on and on and on and on as the Gentiles do. Now, they're the practice. You know, there are some religions that will probably talk about lots of meditation, you know, and you keep doing that. That's babbling. And so he says, please, don't do that. Just tell the Lord straight what it is that you want from him. Because they think that by the constant repetition of words, their prayers are going to be what? Are going to be answered. And he says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And then he gives us a blueprint on how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the mandate that you and I have, that whatever the will of God is in heaven, we have to bring that to pass here on what? Here on earth. Give us today the food we need. He knows you need some food. And he says, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. If we stopped right here, that's the end of the message. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Who knows, that's not an easy thing? Because sometimes we hold on to unforgiveness. I'm not going to forgive him. They don't deserve it. But the scripture clearly tells us here, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And then he says, for all of us, don't let us yield to temptation. Who struggles with temptation in here? Anybody struggle with temptation? I have a temptation for connoisseur ice cream. It's a really bad one. May the Lord, you know. And I tell you, I keep yielding to that particular. And that's not good. Eh? It's the sugar. That's not good for me. But he says, rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you, will not forgive your sins. So this is an important part of our lives, that let us be those that are quick to forgive those that have wronged us. Because then we begin to understand and receive forgiveness in our own lives. This is why when the story was told of the guy who was forgiven of a big debt, and it says that he was forgiven, let's just say, of $1 billion, the debt is wiped clear. So you can imagine how happy he was. No sooner had he come out from that court where they had forgiven him, he meets somebody who owed him like $10,000, and he grabbed him by the neck and he says, give me my money now. And it says when everybody else saw what he had done, because they had recognized that he had been forgiven much, they went to the master and said, look, this guy that you forgave $1 billion is grabbing the guy who owes him 10,000 by the neck. We have to be very quick. How we know how we are tracking in our Christian discipline and in our Christian lives is how quick we are to forgive. Sometimes we can hold on to a grudge. At school, some people might have said some things about you. The boys say that. I went to boarding school, and I tell you, it was a shark. It was a pool of sharks. No fish in there, just sharks. And it was not kind, because they prey on the weak. So that's what boy. So in fact, I told you about a guy. I remember one night, for no reason, I don't know what I'd done or it said, this prefect came in at the boarding school at Jamison House, and he smacked me good. And everybody said, why did he hit you? And there was no rhyme or reason. I got it good. Now, because I was a little small boy, I couldn't fight for myself, but that guy, I tell you, even if I see him now. And the interesting thing is that in our boys group, we have a group of about nearly 100 people on WhatsApp. And when they talk about that guy, it's not good the things they say. But now we are nearly 50-year-old men, but we reminisce about the things that were done to us by that particular gentleman. God bless him. So we know how well we are going in our Christian lives by how quick we are to forgive those people that have wronged us. But if we are holding on to the grudge, that tells us that it's a sign that we haven't yet grasped the extent to which we have been forgiven by the Lord. That wasn't part of the message, but I just thought I'd take the opportunity to talk about unforgiveness. So prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is alignment with the will of God. So remember that he says, don't pray publicly. And the reason why Jesus had an issue with that is that these people were doing it for show. They wanted, when they would stand at the corner or do it in public, that everybody would point to them and say, wow, look at those guys. They are so prayerful. They must have an excellent relationship with the Lord. They are super Christians. Everything is going well for them. So Jesus offers us this alternative, and he invites us to the alternative is private prayer behind closed doors. It is not about the location, whether you pray in public or in private. But what he's saying is that it is the motivation by which you pray that he's addressing. So the passage emphasizes private devotion, but it's calling believers to keep God at the center of their motives when praying, not themselves, not what those Pharisees were doing. Because he says hypocrites. And hypocrite is a play actor, somebody who acts one way in public, but is actually another way in private. So he's saying your motivation for true prayer is your heart attitude towards the Lord. And prayer is an alignment of your will with the will of God. So essentially saying that, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, the example was that, Lord, if it be possible, can I forego the cross? Can we skip the cross and just get to resurrection? And, you know, do your thing, wave your magic wand, and it's all over and done with. But then he says, not my will, but your will be done. There'll be moments in our lives where we know what the will and the plan of God is. And just like Jesus, we will be faced with that choice where we have to say, hey, Lord, I know I want to do this, but this is what I know. The known will of God is known from the scriptures. That's the known will of God for your life. And so will we align our will with the what? With the will of God. So when we pray, it is basically you and I coming into alignment with what the will of God is in our life. It could be that we are praying for something, and the answer might be no. And so the question then is that, do I get ticked off at the Lord and say, Lord, you can get stuffed. You haven't given me this thing that I wanted. Or do I say, Lord, I'll wait for your timing. If the answer is a no, then guess what? I'm comfortable and okay with that. Now, that's a hard thing to be able to accept, but that's the position that we should be in, where our prayers is just in alignment with what the will of God is for our lives. So God is saying that, you see, he rewards those who prioritize their relationship with him. So the priority of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a very important element in what we do in our Christian walk. What prayer is, it is a communication with God. It's a dialogue. Prayer is a dialogue. So I talk to the Lord, he talks back to me. I talk to the Lord, he talks what? He talks back. It's not a monologue where I just wake up in the morning and then I just say, Father, we thank you this morning for all your goodness and kindness. And I just thank you, Lord, I'm going to work today and I've got a meeting with those people that I don't like. But no, I know your word says that I should like everybody that I interact with. Lord, I pray, Father, for this. I want a new car in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for all these wonderful things in my life. And I'm going for dinner tonight. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help me with this and that. All right, Lord, see you later. That's a monologue. It's me just dumping on the Lord. It's a dialogue where I actually sit and I speak and I wait for him to hear what he has to say to me. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will climb to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. If you read chapter 1 of Habakkuk, he goes on a rant of all these things that are happening. Where are you, Lord, when all this is happening? And then I think the Lord answers his first complaint. And then now he then positions himself, I will climb to my watchtower and stand at my guard post, where I'll wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. That's the dialogue part. So you speak, he answers. So sometimes our prayer is driven by questions we may have, complaints, or problems. But we have to be willing to posture ourselves to hear what God is saying to you and I. We have to be willing. Okay, the Lord speaks. Let me just cool it off. I'll give the Lord 5 minutes to answer. But that's, you know. Now, what I mean by that is that your posture is that of answering. So sometimes, you know, you couldn't actually say, okay, part of your prayer little cycle, you're praying, let's say you're praying for 10 minutes, you know, I'll pray, good morning, Lord, and then, you know, I'll just wait on the Lord. Maybe I might wait a minute or two. Now, maybe the Lord might speak, maybe he might not speak. But guess what you're doing? You're teaching yourself to actually wait on the Lord to hear what he has to say to you. So there has to be a pause in your dialogue. Have you ever spoken to somebody and you're waiting to throw a word in? There's no commas. You don't put a comma. They just keep going on and on and on. And you're just waiting for the comma so you can jump in. But they keep, no commas. They're just going through everything. Because remember that when you do, when they teach us at school, they teach us to when you get to the apostrophe or the comma, there's a bit of a pause. Where there's an exclamation mark, there's certain things that you must do. That means that actually pausing and giving the Lord time to speak to you is a practice that we need to put in place. Otherwise, it just continues this monologue of us doing what? Just saying what we want to say and moving on. The watchtower and the guard post is really us saying, hey, I'm going to posture myself. I am going to discipline myself to basically go into a place where I'm going to inquire of the Lord. If you are a parent, you are going to have to do that for your children when all hell breaks loose. And you know when is the best time to inquire of the Lord? Before all hell breaks loose, not afterwards. It's like studying for the exam on the day of the exam is a bit too late. So you study for the exam. We used to call it getting fat at the market. You know, where you're just studying and you're trying to cram everything. That does not work. You have to prepare yourself so you do the study so that when the exam comes, you know, you put your best foot forward. So we have to be deliberate and intentional about our watchtower and our guard post. Why this is important as a parent. So maybe I'll just address the parents. The reason why it is important is so that the Lord will warn you that there's something amiss with your child that you might not be aware of, but he will drop something in your spirit and then just say, oh, okay, let me go and ask what? A question. So an example, when our kids were young, one night, I think my wife must have gone, you know, like kids when they pretend. So she, good night, everybody went to sleep. And then somehow, you know, the kid didn't realize that, you know, when they've got the iPad on, there's a glow that comes from under the door. And so the mother saw the glow of the iPad. And I think then the question was, then when the child came, he was so effusive in his love for the mother. Oh, Mom, I love you very much, and all of that. And so she knew that as a signal that something is what? Is wrong. And then obviously she intervened. And I think that at that time there had been a purchase of stuff on the iTunes store. And so she found out, you know. So the reason why I say to parents, do not leave your guard post, is because it's in that place where the Lord would reveal things to you. Now, It's not just about revealing bad things, but it's also even for your own life. The Lord will warn you that disaster is coming your way. Prepare yourself. The reason I know that is that in Ezekiel chapter 33, it actually says that I looked for someone to stand in the gap, but I found no one, and then disaster, what? Disaster came. So we cannot leave our watchtower. We cannot leave our guard post. You see, the watchtower and the guard post symbolize the spiritual discipline required to hear from God. Even for young people, you need to hear for the life decisions that you're making. You need to develop this habit of constantly spending time with the Lord and saying, Lord, would you guide me? These are my plans. So a little tip, whenever you go to the Lord, you might go to the Lord with some plans and you say, Father, these are my plans. Can you guide me? So you take your plans to God. You got to take something to him, but you hold them loosely because the Lord might say, okay, I get it. It's good that you've got some plans, but instead of turning left, I need you to turn what? Right. Because remember, he says that commit your ways to the who? To the Lord, and he will guide you. This is why we need to spend time, not abandon the place of prayer, because it is communication with God and we hear from him. Prayer is about your relationship, is about you and God and your relationship. It's not about anyone else. In John chapter 21, when the Lord had a dialogue with Peter, when Peter, you know, when the Lord said, Peter, tonight you will deny me three times. And the Lord, and Peter said, never, Lord, I'll be with you to the what? To the end. And then a young girl came and says, were you not one of his? And then he says, no, I never knew the man. And he denied the Lord. And so now they're having this dialogue. This is before Christ was crucified. They're having this dialogue. And then the Lord begins to say, a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. This is a prophecy that the Lord is making into Peter's life that, hey, the way that you're going to end is not going to be good. So Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. Peter then turned around and then he says he saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved. And that was the disciple who? John. Somehow John was, you know, John had a close relationship with the Lord. And then Peter asked the Lord and he says, what about him, Lord? How's he going to die? Is he going to die like me? I paraphrase. Then Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. Your relationship with the Lord is your relationship with the Lord. You have to understand that God really understands you. And he understands you well enough that he knows the weapons that have been fashioned against you. So when you have a relationship with him, he is going to require of you things that he will not require of somebody else. And the goal is not to try and be like somebody else. The goal is to say, Lord, I will follow you. I won't compare myself with anybody else. I will fall in the direction that you what you want me to go. There's a general will for all believers, but there's also a specific will for each individual. So what I need to do is to focus on my own calling rather than compare myself with other people or their destinies. Because remember that there is weapons that are fashioned against you. There's certain things that God knows that or the enemy knows how to get you. And so there are going to be certain things, the way your prayer life is, your destiny in God is designed specifically for you to overcome the enemy that comes against you. Amen? So you cannot compare yourself with somebody else. You are so unique that the circumstances that come against you are unique to you only. So you cannot compare yourself with somebody else. So that's, I think, my strong encouragement, that you have got to do what? You've got to be as, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. You have to follow the Lord all by yourself. Prayer, again, is not a one-size-fits-all, because it is not a formula. Okay, this is the steps. So remember, even in all of this, I never will tell you that you need to pray for 3 or 4 hours a day. Whilst that is nice, if you do that, there's nothing wrong with that. You might pray for 10 minutes, or whatever the time is. That is going to be between you and the what? Between you and the Lord. It is a personal thing. Remember Bartimaeus in the Bible, who was blind? And when he heard that the Lord Jesus was coming, Bartimaeus began to scream out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then everybody says, "Oh, could you please shut up? You know, you're bothering." And then he screamed out even more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But then you find in another part of Mark, there was the woman with the issue of blood. Bartimaeus cried out, but this lady said to herself, and she said it secretly, "If only I touch the hem of his garment, then I will be made well." And guess what she did? She made a way, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. One was loud, the other was quiet. There's no one size fits all. But the one thing that they had in common was that they had faith. You are going to need faith when you are praying, because faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Without faith, nothing can move. Everything, for the mountain to move, there has to be some faith attached to it. Amen? So God is not looking for a method for you to copy, but for faith that reaches out for him, because he responds to genuine faith in your life. I'm just going to get the team to get back up. And I'm going to finish on this. There's 3 things that I want to do this morning. Number one, I'm going to be praying for, I'll be praying for people to receive the Lord. Very important. The second thing is praying for those that have addiction. If you've got any addiction in your life, I believe the Lord is here. We're going to break some things. Now, the addiction can be from some certain things that you do that no one else sees, but the Lord sees. So any addiction that you have, and it's a private thing, I'm just going to invite you to come to the front and we'll pray for you after we, you know, do number one. And then number three, as we begin this series, what you're going to find is that there's going to be, we're going to try and make it as practical as possible. So we're not just talking about the theory of prayer, because I think you all understand why prayer is important. But as we're going to put certain things into practice, we'll be praying for one another. But I think that some of you, you wake up in the middle of the night and you wonder, why have I woken up? And that there's an activation that we want to do for those that are, you know, called to intercession. Some of you see things and you think, oh, was that just me that saw that? That the Lord opens up certain things to you. And we're going to pray that those gifts get activated. Now, one of the things I'll say is that, you know, when you recognize it is that you've got a gift of intercession, or you've got a gift of prophecy, or you've got a gift to see of healing, you need to invest in making sure that you become more activated in that gift. You are going to have to do the research, you're going to study, you're going to do a course to do what? To build up your faith in that area. That is your personal responsibility. So if we can stand this morning. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1 to 8 says, thank you, Jeff. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Now understand this, when this man prayed this, he had been taken away from the throne, and his son was looking to kill him. And so he prays this thing that my enemies are around me. But he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. He said, I cried out aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing will be on your people. When this scripture, you've got to understand, when King David said, salvation belongs to our God, or to the Lord, he was contrasting what the enemies were saying against him, that there is no salvation for him in God. I don't know what enemy that you are facing that is coming up against you, that is coming up against your family, but salvation belongs to the Lord, because he is the only one that can make a way for you. He is the only one that you can turn to, because the Lord is a great deliverer of his people. When it says that you will strike my enemies on the cheek, it is like the most if I disrespect Pastor Donovan, I don't punch him, because you know, you punch him, the punch is a sign of a bit of respect. But if I slap him, that is a sign that I disrespect him. This is what the Lord does to the enemies that come against you. And then when he says, then I will break their teeth, what the Lord is saying, that I will disempower them, those that come against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. So Father, we look to you this morning. What song are we singing? It's pure? All right. Is it a Rara song? Okay. So let's, whilst the team is singing, I just want to invite us, everybody, if you can just raise your hands to the Lord this morning. The first thing I want to do is to give an opportunity for those that have never made a decision to give their lives to the Lord and to say, hey, Lord, I'm following you. And I'm inviting you to say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, forgiving me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, and I make the choice today to give you my life and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. If that is you this morning, that you're saying, hey, I want to give my life to the Lord, this is a decision that I'm making, I want you to just raise your hands. We're going to pray for you. If there's anyone in this place today, we can start singing. And as the team sings, if you have any addiction issues in your life, this morning, the power of the Lord is here and available to break the teeth of your enemy. I just want you to make us come to the front. And then the third, so you come to the front if there's any addiction issues. The third thing that I'd like to pray for is those of you that have that sense the Lord calling you to a place of intercession, that see things, that have got a gift that the Lord, you sense, has given you, that I want to pray for you this morning, that we begin to activate that gift over your life, whether it's the gift of intercession, whether it's the gift as a seer, somebody who sees, who's shown things by the Lord. As the team sings, may you come to the front and we'll pray for you. And then at the end, I'll get Pastor Nami to come and close the meeting, and then she'll just pray, and then we'll end the service. All right, let's sing.
Just me and you, just a heart song singing out of
if we could just close our eyes. You know, we all pray in different ways. Some of us are loud, like Pastor Stephen said. Some people are loud, some people are quiet, you know, some people are soft. I try to be soft, but I can never last in that softness. But there is a moment for that. There is a time to just be soft and be quiet. And for myself, in one of those quiet moments, the song rose up in me. And the words of the song were, Lord, teach me to quiet my soul. Long enough to know that you hold me in the palm of your hands. In your quiet moment, what is your prayer to the Lord? Teach me to quiet my soul. Long enough to know that you hold me in the palm of your hand. Sometimes we're so distracted by life. There's so much noise going around us. We're so confused because we haven't stopped long enough to quiet our soul so we can know that He holds us. So I just want to pray this morning and thank the Lord for who He is. We always want to pray and thank the Lord for who He is. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to acknowledge first and foremost who He is in our lives. Tell Him who He is before we bring our requests to Him. Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are our Father. I thank you that you are holy, that you are up and above all of us. Your name is holy. Your name is to be honored. Lord, I thank you that you hold me in the palm of your hand. Father, we thank you that you give us the ability to come to you and have access. You've given us access because the veil has been torn. So we have direct access to the Father. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that we are the head and not the tail. We thank you that you are the beginning and the end, that you are the author of life. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. This morning, church, as you lift up your hands, what is the thing that you are thanking the Lord for? What are you acknowledging Him for? What has He done in your life? How far has He brought you? Because it's the things that He has done that we want to acknowledge Him for. It says He has taken our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. That's how far He has removed our transgressions. That's what we want to thank Him for. We woke up this morning. That's what we want to thank Him for. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. I know that not all of us pray in tongues in this place, but if you do pray in tongues, this is the opportunity. This is the time to do that, because there's power in praying in the Spirit, in praying in your prayer language. So this morning, whether you can speak it or you can sing it, go ahead. We are praying to our Father. Robo la shikera bo sendere bo koralara. Riko torobo serekila raba shendere bo sikaraba. Robo shikaraba sendere be killa rababa. Robo shikaraba sendere bo korabo serere. Robo shikaraba sendere bo shikaraba. Riko torobo sandara bo killa rara. Robo sendere bo koshitaraba senterere. Robo sandara bo shikarabo sitarara. Reketereboshi karabose rebekilarara. Robose tereboshi karabose rere. Orabose lereboshi karababa. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would search our heart and see if there's any offensive way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Heavenly Father, we welcome you in this place. God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Search our hearts and forgive us, O Lord, for anything that we are holding. You know, I heard something really powerful this week about the Holy Spirit. And that was that sometimes we abuse the Holy Spirit. We call on the Holy Spirit like we own the Holy Spirit. But He is the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't get to just call. We don't get to just demand and command. We have to respect the Holy Spirit. We have to honor the Holy Spirit. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, Lord, we pray and ask for forgiveness for anything that we have done to abuse the Holy Spirit, to misuse the Holy Spirit, disregard the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you forgive us, that we may know that the Holy Spirit is pure, that the Holy Spirit is sensitive. Lord, may we hear that still small voice. May we be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We worship you, Lord God, and we honor you. May we, Lord God, never leave our watchtower and our guard post. May we stand in the gap for our families. May we stand in the gap for our children. May people stand in the gap for their grandchildren, for their nieces and their nephews. Oh God, may we pray for the salvation of our families, those that don't know you, Lord God, those that are far off that don't know you, Lord God. We pray for them that they, Lord God, would be brought into relationship with you. You have commissioned us, Father, to be those that stand in the gap. Father, over the next few weeks, Lord God, may you visit us by your grace. We're not being presumptuous, Lord, that we would respond to your call. We would respond to your call as you come into our lives, as you wake us up, Lord God, as you knock on the door. Can we just keep singing that song? That whole chorus bit, please. These people have struck a chord. I don't want, if you have to go, God bless you. But I'm just sensing the presence of the Lord here. May we just raise our hands to the Lord this morning. That if you want to be able to hear the Lord more clearly, or just to perceive what God is doing, if you get dreams from the Lord, I want you to come to the front and I want to pray for you. The team is going to singing. Thank you. Yes. If you have to go, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We love you. God watch over you and bless you. But if you want to hear the Lord more clearly, that there's greater clarity in your life, or you receive dreams and you don't know where those dreams are for, I want you to come to the front. Oh, yes. Let's go, team.
And it's all about you.
Yes,
all
it is.
About you.
Yes.
And it's all about you.
Yes.
All about you. And it's all about you.
It's all about you,
all
Jesus.
All about you.
Rita,
and it's all about you.
Rita, kimo musike re mishiara babasike.
And it's all about you, when it's all about you, and it's all about you, and it's all about you. Anything that I could gain, just to honor you and bring you all you.